Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Look at that. It's the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but, you know, stop on by there, check out what's going on. You never know what might pop up over there. Of course, while you are at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But remember, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. Well, we did sort of kind of have a sporting event over the weekend. Did you take in the iRacing race? I guess that's what you would describe it as.
No, I missed it. So it was painful.
Yeah, I did. I did watch it. I made sure to check it out, and I did get quite the kick out of the fact that it was on Fox Sports 1, and they did everything possible to make it seem like a real NASCAR race. They did the pre-show, and, they even did the invocation. They had a minister or a preacher or whatever he was called at his house, giving the invocation. You know, they had the national anthem. They even had, like, I think Michael Waltrip was at Denny Hamlin's house because he does the grid walk and he talks to miscellaneous drivers before the race starts. So they even did, kind of a setup like that. And, you know, obviously it was humorous. You know, Hamlin's like, what are you doing in here? Get out of here. You know, that kind of thing. The race itself, I don't want to say I liked it, but I don't want to say I hated it. It was just kind of in the middle for me. The biggest negative I had is I thought there were too many cautions. But obviously you've got a bunch of guys who don't have a lot of time on this simulator. Like your buddy Clint Bowyer was in it, and he had some issues to begin. It took him a little while to kind of figure out what was going on before he could get his driving down. But there was good and bad, and I honestly don't know if they do another one. I honestly don't know if I'll watch it. Maybe I'll check in on it, but I don't think I would, basically sit down and watch the whole thing like it was an actual NASCAR race. So, but, it was kind of fun, watching them do, the things they did, the way they set it up and all that stuff. I thought that was kind of cool.
So you loved it.
like I said, it was more, I guess we call it more of a distraction.
Yeah.
Just the kind of, kind of check things out. But, in the end, all it did was make me realize how much I miss actual sports. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely there with you. I mean, I've watched, except for the new ones, every Star Wars movie this weekend. So for the first three, I just because I didn't get to those three. That's the only reason I didn't watch them. Plus, I'm not paying for the newest one. But Disney Plus stream. So, I watched all, seven Star Wars movies over the weekend. Some Amazon Prime series, which Big Jack, if you have a password, I'm not going to say you have mine or anything like that, but I watched Fortitude, which turned out to be kind of interesting. But yeah, there's two seasons of that. I don't know if they're doing a third or not. It's hard to get into some of these Amazon Prime series because of all the English storytelling, because it's just different than American style. So. You know, I mean, but it's been pretty boring. I painted my entire basement except for one wall with the TV on it, so I got to finish that up. You know, I couldn't have done that while baseball was on, or, you know, catching some XFL games, but I mean, it's been rough. Kind of boring.
Well, you know, and that's my thing is, you know, normally, you know, I'll put something on, and, you know, I may do something else while it's on in the background, but it's on, and I know what's going on, and, you know, all that kind of, you know, other fun stuff. And now it's like, you know, I don't even care. It's like, you know, is the TV even on? I don't even know.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, obviously for us, missing the sports is kind of a big deal, but, you know, you add to the fact that, you know, fortunately you're not living with one, but you can't go anywhere. You know, my wife almost had a nervous breakdown because we went to a fast food place on Friday.
Well, you don't have to go in, right? I mean, they just bring it out to you, or you get it at the drive-thru or something, right? So.
Yeah, but you know how that goes. The person that, you know, made the food could have been with somebody who was, you know, the chain of, you know, Facebook fear mongering that's been going on. So, and the media.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you know, like you and I were talking about before we came on, you know, my regular job is I work for UPS, you know, so we're considered essential and we're not shutting down, but you know, I don't know how many times I've seen the post from somebody I work with on Facebook explaining that the virus can live on cardboard for 24 hours. You know, and obviously, what do we ship? Packages that are boxed in cardboard. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, you know, it's constant reminder, and it's like all all I hear about, and what can you do? I mean, obviously it's what people are going to talk about. It's what they want to talk about, but you know, you've got to find a way to kind of separate it. Cause you're basically making people, like you said, your wife is hysterical. You know, I mean, they're basically making people crazy. There's been a girl that I work with that used to be in my department. She transferred out that, you know, has put up so much stuff about, you know, what's going to happen or what could happen or how it could happen, that it's like, how's she even making it to work? It's like, you know, she's posting things like 24 hours a day. So, you know, it's just, it's nuts.
You know,
of course I'd like to thank Donald Trump for, you know, giving the big shout out that you made sure I saw. So there you go.
But I mean, you know, it's all his fault, except if there was a Democrat in office,
yeah,
that guy would be praised for doing exactly
the way
yeah, you know, if it were, you know, and that's the thing that, and I'm not going to get on political here, but, you know, that's one of the great hypocrisies of our nation and the political system is it doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter. The way things go with the media and most supporters who don't actually go out and support, just go ask Bernie Sanders that. You know, it doesn't matter what the Republican does. Whatever he does, he's the bad guy. And, you know, if the Democrat's in office, whatever he does, he's the good guy. You know, I guess we'll always have to have that. But, you know, I mean, I've never gotten a check from a Democratic president, but we won't go there. Which we're going to probably just take that check and then forward it back to the government because we're going to owe on taxes this year. So, yay, thanks, Donald. send those checks soon so we can do our taxes.
I'll take mine. I don't owe on taxes,
yeah.
So send me mine. Show me the money.
Yeah, well, I mean, either way, it'll help us. But, you know, it's just, you know, like I was saying, I think the hardest part is, you know, like you said, we can't leave. Like, you're missing sports and one thing, but then the fact you can't leave is another. So you're like, well, what do I do now? So I'm trapped in a house and, you know, you still got to live. So it's interesting. At least our electricity power grid didn't go down. Like some of my
One of having, you know, the essential job is I get to get out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, because I have to go to work. So, you know, but like it was weird because, you know, the other thing, it's so weird because I keep hearing people complain about how there's, you know, like they can't find toilet paper, they can't do, you know, they can't find this or that, and people don't seem to realize that anytime anybody's going to buy something like that, they're going to go to Walmart, they're going to go to Costco to try to get it as cheap as they can. I went to the little European market across from where I pick up my prescriptions today, and they had so much toilet paper that they had a display stacked to the ceiling. So, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, maybe you're just not looking at the right spots. Or, you know, my guess is, of course, they only report where their outage is. You know, they're not going to come on and say, oh, yeah, look at all this toilet paper this place has. You know, they're only going to focus on the fact that it's like, hey, they're all out of toilet paper here. So.
Yeah, and, you know, the biggest thing I've been just doing is sitting back and watching my emails from, you know, the sports teams pretty much. And the one that surprised me the most, and I guess because I haven't purchased any tickets, was I've received nothing from the Cubs. Everything has been from the White Sox. Yeah. So, you know, again, it must be because I haven't purchased any tickets. So, you know, the one that cracked me up the most was from the White Sox. And, you know, with the whole initiative of moving forward with digital tickets, they're encouraging all their fans, because, you know, no game has officially been canceled yet, encouraging all their fans to not throw away their tickets. And I kind of laughed at that because I'm like, well, I have digital tickets, so I've got to throw my phone away, right? Here it goes. You know, but the way it sounds, like, allegedly with, you know, this testing that scientists have to do to cure this disease or this virus that's been around long enough for Lysol to put it on the back of their packaging. It's been around that long. So, you know, it's not like it's something new that a certain country created. But, you know, it's supposedly up to 18 months for the full round of testing to get done. So I find that just typical American-style government and politics, right? But maybe I'm wrong on how testing goes, but I wouldn't think that 10 people being tested on it would take a year and a half to complete. So with that kind of being said, I mean, are you foreseeing almost a strike year for baseball? And just quite possibly, and I know your perspective on it's going to come from the owners, so, and not wanting to lose the money and all that, but I mean, do you kind of foresee that's a potential?
You know, sadly, more and more, you know, we're heading to that report. I think you and I talked about it last week. I saw that report that said they would start with the All-Star game and play an 81-game schedule. And, you know, unfortunately, more and more, I think we're headed that way. You know, we're going to get a half of a season. You know, I did see some owners came out the end of last week talking about how they were trying to figure out how to work doubleheaders in so they could play more games. Obviously, again, you know, you mentioned the money aspect of it. But, yeah, it's, you know, the more I look at this, you know, I kind of figure – you know, there's no reason for the NHL or the NBA to even bother to come back now. I get that you want to crown a champion, You know, and again, your owners want that playoff money, but at this point in time, that's a useless cause. Nobody's going to care about your league. So don't waste the people's time and even bothering to do it. Yeah, and you know, that leaves us baseball, and yeah, we're looking at, you know, 81, 100 games. You know, maybe if we're lucky, we get 120. But yeah, we're not. I don't think we're going to get that. I think it's going to be 81 games, and we'll start in July.
I mean, do you even foresee that there is no baseball?
You know, I've heard some people mention that, but again, and it depends what rumors you decide you want to listen to, because there were some reports that it would be an 8 to 12 week, you know, recovery time, and we're already about a month in, so we would be looking at two more months. You know, that would be, you know, April and May, because you know what Tuesday or Wednesday is. Or no, next week is April 1st. So, you know, I mean, you're wiping that out. You figure if it is June by the time they're up and ready, you know, the guys are going to, you know, the baseball's going to have to go back to spring training for, you know, like I believe Buster only reported they wanted to do 2 to 3 weeks, you know, of another spring training. So that would be the end of June. And, yeah, you would be starting right around July 1st. You know, and then, well, you know, just to prove, like I was going to tell you right before we started, the way things go for me, Dan, you know, what baseball's supposed to start, it was supposed to start Thursday of this week. So I'm off next week because, you know, I like to take that first full week off and sit around and watch games. So now I'm off all week and I have to stay in the house and not watch baseball.
Or do anything.
Right. You know, so I guess the only option I'll have is maybe I'll finally be able to get my office chair fixed, you know, because I still haven't had any luck getting the base off of it. But yeah, you know, my plan was just to, you know, to hang out and, you know, watch the, you know, the MLB app and whatever game the MLB network was showing or whatever local game was on. Cause you know, I do have the marquee network cause I'm a U-verse customer, so I can actually watch Cub games. But yeah, I honestly don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to go nuts. So you want to tune in next week, folks. I'll probably be insane by the end of the week. Maybe I'll go on my balcony. Isn't that the thing to do?
Sure. I guess that was only for Sweet Caroline, which, I'm sorry, I've got to be the only person in the United States of America who rolls his eyes when I'm sitting at a wedding and that song comes in.
Well, no, they did, one of your suburbs did Living on a Prayer. One of the Chicago suburbs. Apparently it got so much attention that John Bon Jovi actually made a reply video to them. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, I may go out on my balcony and just sing next week and see what kind of response I get. Of course, I may have to learn Spanish to do it, but we'll work on that part later. So.
Well, that's not even Spanish, I mean.
You know. But that, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you have a better outlook for baseball coming back than I do, or are you kind of buying the 81 game July season they talked about last week?
I think I'm kind of buying the 81 game July season because, you know, the other part of it is, do they really want to play with nobody in the stands?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of generated from TV, but, you know, what does it really do when you've got no one there?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it seems pretty clear that they want to wait for fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems to be the thing, is they want to make sure they can get that gate and that draw and whatever else, you know, fans are going to, you know, spend their money on. But not, You know, that is an interesting question, you know, Dan, because luckily, you know, so far you and I are, you know, able to continue working. You get to do it from home at least. So, you know, we're still getting paychecks coming in. But, you know, there are quite a few people who are just out of work, you know, with this situation. Do you think that's going to affect ticket buying? Or, you know, do you think it'll still kind of be the same?
I think it's going to affect it big time because, I mean, you know, we've talked about that a million times here. And, you know, it's something that nobody on the mothership, none of our local stations actually talk about is the fact that, well, then again, I haven't listened to local sports network radio stations for the last, what, 2 years or more, just because they've lost my interest. I do try to tune in on Saturday mornings with our guy Bruce Levine and his shows on Saturday mornings because he talks baseball. But, I mean, after some of the comments he's made over the last couple of years, I've kind of lost interest in him. You know, he's got the job that, would you say 90% of sports broadcasts, 99% of sports broadcasters in Chicago would love to have, and that's covering baseball and, you know, the two big teams. But, you know, is the fact that going to a baseball game today, unless you're going by yourself, is essentially for four people, a family of four, God forbid you have three or more, is like a mini vacation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Cubs built that, or the Ricketts built that hotel there. You know, I'm sure it's a luxury hotel. So, you know, as much fun as it would be to stay up there, I'm still spending the hour and a half to 2 hours, you know, getting there and back. As a, you know, because if you add in the hotel and food, I mean, if you were to pick the hotel right there by Wrigley Field, say you get four tickets to a game and you want seats that are not in the upper bowl, I mean, you're looking at a grand. You know, and I highly doubt that parking is included with the hotel because the parking's up to $50 now after they won the World Series.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, you know, and that would be kind of the other, you know, the follow-up to that. Do you think we'll see teams maybe reduce ticket prices early in the season while, you know, we'll call them blue-collar fans, kind of try to get back on their feet?
I think it honestly depends on the team. You know, the teams we're looking at that you're questioning – would be, you know, Yankees, Dodgers. Well, Dodgers have their separate sections, you know. In India, they call it the caste system. We here, we call it tiers, right? what tier you're going to get in. So, you know, everyone and anyone who's anyone in L.A., if you can make it, can buy a ticket. You know, the White Sox are pretty aggressive with their sales. You know, they got me with a $5 ticket that, May 15th. So, you know, I'm actually hoping that the season doesn't start till May 16th so I can get a credit. But even that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm made of money, but with the way the world's working and my wife's sanity, if I have to eat the almost $30 I spent on $5 tickets. But Dan, the man, you said you bought $5 tickets. Yeah, that's the great state of Illinois. You get taxed up the ass just to go to a game for fun. So
yeah, how many tickets did you buy for $5?
Just two. It was almost $30.
And in the end, it cost you almost $30 with the taxes.
Yeah.
So you paid more in tax than you did for the ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what
you know,
to
and
Illinois
the fact that I, yeah. You know, I don't mind paying the Ticketmaster fee, but, you know, geez.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I had in that state, you know, that kind of deal with Illinois, I had a friend from Kentucky send me a Facebook message telling me that, you know, gas by her house was 79 cents, and she wanted to know what it was here. Like, well, the best it is in my county is $1.99 because of taxes. So... You know, it's kind of like, oh, great. You know, here you go. But yeah, that's kind of goofy that it cost you that much in freaking taxes and fees or whatever. Do that? Yeah, don't they call some of them fees now? Isn't there like an amusement fee or something like that?
It's called an amusement park fee.
Okay. So. Yeah, I wonder whose pocket that's going in. But yeah, you know, and you know, that's kind of the secondary thing I'm interested in, not just, you know, to get baseball back, but yeah, I am interested to see how they kind of treat the fans when they get back. I mean, are they going to cut people breaks, or, you know, are they just going to expect you to come back and have to, you know, pay your full price, or, you know, whatever you want to do. So it'll be interesting to see how teams handle that, you know, especially in some of the more blue collar towns, you know, the Pittsburghs, the St. Louis's, you know, the places like that.
Well, the Cardinals, I think, is different because, you know, that's a baseball town. But, you know, the other one you left out, which is pretty close to Detroit. You know,
right.
I mean, they're already, you know, in the dumps as it is. No knock on Detroit in general, just the team. But, you know, what are you going to see there? 1,000 people showing up to a game?
Yeah, you know, and that would be, I guess, another, you know, almost kind of interesting thing to look at is, will fans return to these rebuilding teams? I know you mentioned the Tigers. You know, it looks like the Royals are in for another, you know, sub 500 year. I mean, you know, the Marlins are going to stink again. You know, the Mariners are in like the second year of their rebuild. You know, now obviously there's more, you know, there's, you know, other teams out there that are in the process of doing it as well. You know, will we see the, you know, will their fans come back? You know, especially at full price. You know, I mean, are you, you know, well, maybe not so much you and I, because we would be dumb enough to do it, but, you know, would you, could just to go to a game, but would you pay full price at this point to see a Tigers Royals game if you weren't up?
No.
So.
No. No, not at all.
And there's going to be what? 17 of them, right? They play each other 17 times?
Yep. Well, you know, and I guess to kind of venture onto a different topic, do you think, I mean, baseball's got to have some kind of contingency plan, and the fact that it's not, you know, two guys like you and I who actually write out the schedule, I mean, do you think they're planning for that? I mean, you know, because when you look at, like, the Tigers and some of these smaller teams, so, you know, let's just go, we have 162 games, so, you know, your best estimate right now is 120. So, you know, that should drop that down a little bit. But even if they went to 81 games, I mean, are we going to see a restructured schedule? Or are they just going to go with where they left off? You know, if the game is supposed to start on the 26th and it doesn't start till, let's just say, June 1st for some reason, are we going to start with the games that are scheduled for June 1st going forward? Or are they going to kind of restructure the schedule?
You know, I was wondering this myself, and I honestly hope that they are smart enough to restructure the schedule. And the first thing they need to do in this type of situation is get rid of the majority of interleague play. Now, I know you can't get rid of it all because the number of teams, because you know, it's an odd number of teams set up, so there's always going to be somebody playing interleague play, but you need to eliminate as much of the interleague play BS as you can, because if you're going to get your fans back and wanting to see games, they're going to want to see the rivalries, and the best rivalries are in your division. You know, I mean, I know everybody gets a kick out of seeing Cubs, White Sox, or Yankees, Mets, or Dodgers, Angels, because they're in the same towns, more or less. But let's face it, if you're a true Cub fan, you want to see Cub Cardinals more than you want to see Cub White Sox.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the one thing I did like about the rivalry is the fact that, and I don't know if this is true for, you know, Mets, Yanks, Dodgers, Angels, but, you know, the Cubs-White Sox series every year has been dwindled down to 4 games.
Yeah.
You know, which I think that's more for scheduling purposes. You know, it's not fair for the White Sox if they only have one game, they only have one chance of selling out for the season.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, personally, I think they should just knock it down to 3 games because then, you know, the good-for-nothing crosstown cup, you know, no offense. I get it. It's a cool thing to kind of put together. But, you know, it should be down to 3 games so that you really have a point behind it. And if it's going to be a continued rivalry, I don't see the issue with, you know, this year having 2 at White Sox, 1 at Wrigley, or hell, let's just do 1 weekend at Wrigley in 2020, 1 weekend in Comiskey or G-Rate 2021, you know, to kind of offset that. But, you know, they've got to find another way. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, given this situation, I think it's good that the Major League Baseball hasn't gone to an expansion. But when things get back to normal, I mean, you know, Manfred was so focused on speeding up the game that I think he lost sight of what the fans really want, despite all the stupid surveys they conduct. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I don't think they're, you know, while you try to do a focus group, you know, a focus group of, you know, 100 people, 1,000 people of the game doesn't really give you a true look at what the fans really want. You know, it's just like with this whole work from home thing. I've been getting emails from our office manager, you know, and it's, you know, my wife brought up the fact that the way things are being conducted, you know, organizations are realizing that, guess what? It's okay to work from home, and your organization, if you have that capability, still functions. You know why? It's such a hard thing to get into is in, I hope you don't take offense to this, Big Jack, and I don't think this is your generation, but, you know, I kind of see where the okay boomer comes in because, I mean, my office manager was reaching out to us like, we didn't know what to do. And
yeah.
I looked at my wife and I go, I'm like, he travels so much, you know, for business. I don't know what he does, consulting, you know, that he doesn't realize that the people he sent included me on the email for, there was 8 people, right? Yeah, because we're the only ones who aren't consultants. We do other stuff. Forgot the fact that 7 out of those 8 people, I'm the only one who's in the office every single day. The other, there's, you know, you. So do we need assistants working from home? No, we've all got it down. I've only worked from home on occasion, you know, doctor's appointment here and there. So, you know, it's one of those things where the older generation, and, you know, I'm not going to knock it because I think there's a lot of knowledge and wealth that can come from listening to your elders and, you know, that generation. But at the same time, it's like, man, you got to let go. And you can't just be so single-mindedly focused on one aspect of your business. I mean, thankfully, he's gotten off the speed up the game train, but he hasn't done anything since. You know, and I still think that this country, not only this country, this continent is open for baseball expansion. And if you were to even just expand it to 2 games or 2 teams, we could eliminate half of the interleague play. And I'm not saying, you know, get it back to where it's just AL, NL, and, you know, the 2 top teams, the East and the West, you know, battle it out so we don't have playoff teams. But, I mean, even the proposed expansion for playoffs, I think would make even a little bit more sense if you had a couple more teams. You know, then it wouldn't look like you're just letting everyone in the playoffs. and everyone gets a participation trophy.
Yeah, you know, I think what they have to figure out before they expand, which was something the NHL did, is how to make that expansion team at least semi-competitive right off the bat. You know, because it, you know, more and more, you know, when they talk expansion, you got to figure they're going back to Montreal. You know, all the signs have kind of pointed that way. I don't know where another team would land. You know, maybe Las Vegas, now that there's a football stadium that they could probably play in and get enough people in to make it worth their while. But, yeah, I think you've got to find a way to at least get that team to where it's, you know, maybe a threat to be 500, because eventually – you know how it is. The luster wears off that shiny new toy, and people don't want to play with it anymore.
Yeah.
So you've got to kind of find a way to set that up where, you know, your expansion team comes in and doesn't lose 105 or 110 games, because, you know, then by the end of the season, everybody's kind of like, oh, crap, why do we have this team?
Yeah, well, and so, do you kind of agree with, you know, in the past, baseball has always done too. You know, and the NHL, you know, I think it was a little peculiar. It was definitely to me, I don't know about you, but when they came out and they're like, okay, we're doing this one team, and then we're going to look at, you know, another city, which, you know, all things going forward, it should be Seattle. But I mean, you know, do you think that made it a little bit better because you're not putting in two teams where, I mean, with two teams, you're almost guaranteeing that these two teams quite possibly won't be 500 baseball teams.
Yeah, no, you know, the NHL had a really good plan, you know, and again, I don't know how this, you know, virus will screw that up, because I know Seattle was supposed to start play, I don't know if it was next year or the year after, but, you know, they knew, hey, we're going to go to Las Vegas, and they knew they were going to Seattle, and they set up their time frame. So, you know, maybe baseball could do something like that. They could say, hey, we're going to Montreal, you know, in 2021. And then in 2023, we're going to go here, you know, and see if, you know, see if something like that could work out. You know, and I would like to think, I mean, obviously, you know, you and I don't want to, you and I don't work for Major League Baseball. If they would like to hire us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, send the email, Dan and I'll reply. You know, they should have guys smart enough or smarter than you and I to figure this out, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a whole association in Montreal that has dedicated themselves to bringing baseball back. And, I mean, you know, and this is another one of those things where Major League Baseball makes so much money. Not the owners, not the teams. The MLB itself makes so much money. You cannot tell me that they do not have the capability to quite possibly, you know, let Montreal work itself out and get a deal and try to get the sponsors to help build, you know, try to get the funding. But you can't tell me you cannot, there's no possibility of loaning or, you know, giving some kind of money to help build a new stadium, because that's obviously one of the issues. And, but I wonder too, do they fear the Expos taking over the Blue Jays and ratings and all that stuff? And, you know, because the other thing is with the Montreal Baseball Project, I forget who it's headed by, but you can find it on Facebook in English and in French for those of you who are dual languagers. I forget what the term for that is. But, you know, they don't want to go back to the NL East. You know, and that's part of the reason Tampa was trying to do that sister city, which, I mean, come on now. I don't know about you, Big Jack, but I thought that was one of the dumbest things you could do. You know, what are you going to do? Play 40 games in, you know, Tampa and 41 in Montreal? That just didn't seem like it was going to be that great of an idea. You know, for a situation like that, it's always kind of cool, you know, to kind of bring a series into Montreal for the weekend, but kind of splitting time, that just doesn't make any sense. But you know, one of the biggest things I know about the Montreal Project is they would like to get the Expos back into baseball, but in the AL East, so that they're up against the Red Sox and the Yankees, and that that would help, you know, bring some more attraction to it. And that's why the whole the whole idea of even moving Tampa out of Tampa, or the Rays out of Tampa, and, you know, shutting them down like they did the Expos, kind of came about. So, I mean, but that's where I think some of the stubbornness of the front office. And like you said, they should have these guys that know what they're doing. But, I mean, for the rest of us, it seems like they don't.
Yeah, it's so odd, isn't it, that you have people who, you know, allegedly do this for a living, but yet it doesn't seem like they have a, you know, and I wonder, I guess maybe that's what I'm looking for, Dan. I think maybe it's the possibility that they're out of touch with what real fans want. You know, I mean, because most of those guys in basically all the sports, you know, power positions, you know, they're lawyers, or they have some kind of legal training involved. And, you know, I just wonder if they don't, you know, maybe they didn't have the upbringing, or they were never just Joe fan, and it's difficult for them to kind of grasp the concept of what, you know, the everyday 40-hour-a-week guy wants out of baseball.
Yeah, they want to have a good time.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, you know, because, I mean, I get that in today's society you have to find ways to speed up the game. You know, I understand that. But you and I sat here since they put it in and told them they needed to fix the replay system and make it quicker. You know, the XFL just showed us all that that is very possible. You know, I mean, those replay reviews didn't take more than a couple minutes. Where you and I have sat there for how long and seen literally almost 10-minute baseball replays.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, make you know, get your looks, make your decision, let's get the game going. You know, and it's just, you know, it can be mind-numbing with this. And, you know, I like that they're getting rid of the coach's BS where the guy can stand top step and just basically stop the game. Because they're trying to decide if they want to replay or not. No, you need to make the decision on the spot. Either you're going to replay it or you're not going to replay it. You know, this BS with, well, you know, we got to have our guys take a look at it first. No, you know, let's just, you know, in reality, if it was me, I wouldn't give the coaches an option, and I would just have, you know, an eye in the sky that does it. But, you know, that's just me. So, you know, and I know there would be fits because they'd be like, well, why didn't they replay this one? Well, you can't replay every freaking play.
Yeah,
you know, it's just that simple.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, we've discussed before, is the fact that, you know, they have this system, but then, you know, what is it, after the seventh inning, it's at the discretion. So essentially, any close play after the seventh inning is going to be replayed, okay?
Yeah.
So the coach gets two opportunities. Or was it one? I don't remember exactly how it goes because it's such a stupid system. But if he gets it right, then he gets another chance. And, I mean, how many times do we really see that many, you know, instant replays being called for in the first six innings? You know, even if I've seen opportunities with Joe Maddon last season where it was early in the game and they just – decided to wash their hands of it and, you know, move on because it really wasn't that big of a deal in the first three
yeah,
innings.
And, you know,
you always
hear the announcer say, well, you know, he didn't want to waste his challenge this early.
Yeah.
No. You know, yeah. That's
well,
just,
and like you like you mentioned, even with the, you know, Rob Manfred being the a lawyer, okay, well, you would understand how things work, you would think, because the league needs to make money to survive. The team needs to make money to survive. How do they survive Is it really off the hot dogs and pizzas and burgers? No, Jack. It's off of those damn beer and alcohol sales. I mean, for one beer, you can essentially get 1 16-ounce can that's poured in the cup. You could basically at home watch the game for free, but you're paying your cable bill, so it's not for free. You can watch the game at home and buy a six-pack of bottles for essentially the same price as that one beer. But for some reason, you showed up to the game, you've had one, you've had two, and you don't feel so bad about it because you bought your peanuts from the guy, you know, down the block for $5 as opposed to the $7 to $12 on the inside of the park. So you're okay with that, you know. So you're at two beers. You just spent $25. Or no, $12.
Well, you know,
$20. Yeah.
I think a lot of it goes back to, and you know, this depends on how many games you go to. But, you know, if you go to a small number of games, like you said, that kind of is like your vacation. What's one mm-hmm. of the things you do on vacation? You spend money.
Yeah.
You know, you're not looking at the price of things. You're just like, okay, well, I'm on vacation. I'm going to get myself this. Well, I'm at the ball game. I'm going to have a beer. Well, okay, I'm going to have a second beer. You know, maybe a third one because, you know, I'm having a good time. So, you know, I think that plays into a lot of it. You know, you get them in, you spend money.
You know, and as we're talking, because of the laws today, by the, I forget which inning it is, seventh inning, I don't know if it's the top or the bottom, there's a cutoff for buying alcohol.
Yeah.
So for all the people who can't afford to sit underneath, you know, home plates or, you know, get those backstage essentially passes, where the bar doesn't close and you don't have to stop drinking because it's the seventh inning, that's why baseball is never going to speed itself up. So, you know, you could conduct all these damn surveys, but I don't understand why Rob Manfred and his team didn't just look at the facts in front of them and open their freaking eyes. You know,
that, they can't come out and say that. You know, they can't come out and say, well, we want to sell more beer.
Yeah.
You know, because imagine the storm that starts.
Well, I get that part, but it's like you're going to sit here and tell us how you're going to speed the game up, and you're doing this and you're doing that, and, you know, you eliminated, you know, a four-pitch walk, which,
yeah.
You know, take it or leave it. You shaved off 1.4 seconds or, you know, 3.4 seconds of an entire game where this intentional walk happens, you know, five times a year, you know, a week. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Barry Bonds doesn't play anymore. So we're not seeing,
yeah.
You know, even today, you know, even with Mike Trout, if Mike Trout or Bryce Harper are at the plate, there's only two things that are going to happen. He's going to strike out or possibly get a home run. When Barry Bonds stepped up to the plate and all those guys of the juice era, you intentionally walked them because they were going to hit a home run, unless you're going up against Alfonso Soriano and you've got your two strikes. You just throw a low slider to the outside, automatic strike three because he swung every single time. But, you know, Barry Bonds didn't. That's why he was getting walked. That's why the game took so long because, you know, as he got older, he's not running down to first. He's strolling. And then usually after that, what happens after that, Big Jack? That's when the coach goes to the bullpen to bring in the next pitcher. You know, so, I mean, some of these stuff kind of correlate together. But, again, what you've done to, quote-unquote, speed up the game really hasn't done anything. You haven't changed the game one bit. Like you've said a million times, when we've got the eight-game series between the Red Sox and the Yankees, because it seems like eight games because, well, each game goes 4 hours long. And it doesn't matter. It could be a 1-to-1 game or 2-to-1 game, and it's 4 hours long.
Well, you know what's kind of funny about baseball, too, is you would have thought with all the sabermetrics and analytics involved in hitting now, you thought the game would almost naturally speed itself up because guys are swinging more, but they're not necessarily getting more hits because everybody's trying to hit home runs. So, you know, there's a lot more early flyouts and counts or ground outs. You know, I know the strikeouts are up, and that does take a little longer. But, yeah, you would think with guys not being as selective, there would have been a little natural momentum to the game and, you know, got it moving. You know, and I do like this, you know, that you can't bring the pitcher in for just the one batter because I hate watching pitching change. When they do that drives me bonkers. You know, it's like, okay, well, here's this lefty who can only pitch the lefties, and now the lefty's out, I got to go get the righty. Okay, well, now there's another lefty, I got to go get another lefty. But then there's two righties after that and another lefty, so who pitches then? You know, and the next thing you know, it's I feel like I'm playing three-card Monty and I just lost all my money. So.
Well, and not only that, I mean, you know, the other part of it is, this guy, this lefty, has been in the bullpen, you know, warming up, okay? So then he has to walk his happy ass all the way from far out in, you know, middle right field all the way down to the home plate, which they have golf carts, and I remember Arizona brought it back for like a day. They have to walk their happy ass all the way from there. We don't have those pitchers who come running in like they used to from Cleveland. I forgot who that was. But so now we've got to wait for him. We have to walk all the way to pitcher's mound, only to step on the mound to start throwing pitches. And then what does the network do now, Big Jack? Oh, that's right. The network made us watch this guy walk from the bullpen to the mound, throw his first two pitches, and now we're going to a commercial break because this guy now needs 50 pitches of warm-up, even though he spent the time in the bullpen. Well, when you go in the bullpen, it's not the same, you know, regulations, the height and everything of the field. Oh, well, whose dumbass idea was to build a bullpen underneath the bleachers or wherever you put it and not have it meet the same exact dimensions as the one on the field? Major League Baseball.
So, and I did want to mention here, Dan, as we're slowly but surely running out of time, today was the first day that XFL players could sign with either an NFL team or a CFL team. And I honestly thought there were going to be more right out of the gate, but I've only seen two so far. The New Orleans Saints signed a defensive back. I think he's a safety, but they called him a defensive back. Dietrich Nichols, but the one that I was kind of disappointed on, the Carolina Panthers ended up being the team that went out and signed P.J. Walker. Walker, the quarterback, Walker was pretty much the best player in the XFL this year, and I guess it makes sense because his college coach is now the Panthers head coach, so he's kind of reuniting with him, but I really thought the Seahawks were going to take a big run at him because I thought he would be a really nice backup for Russell Wilson. But, yeah, we'll have to see if we get, you know, if we get more players, you know, kind of rolling in or how it kind of works out. I mean, I would assume that Walker's top target, that wide receiver Cam Phillips, will get a job or at least get a look in the NFL. But other than that, I'm not sure how many other guys will get chances. But those are the first two I saw, you know, and we'll have to kind of keep up with it. But since Carolina did sign a quarterback, you know, they signed Teddy Bridgewater earlier. He looks like he'll be the starter. And they had Will Greer, who they drafted last year. Obviously, he's not a Matt Rhule guy. Rhule's their new coach. They traded Kyle Allen today to the Redskins for a fifth-round pick. So Walker becomes the third quarterback on their roster, not named Cam Newton, who is still hanging around there in Carolina, and they got to figure out what the heck they're going to do with him. So, but, yeah, so there's a couple XFL guys who are going to get a shot with the NFL. We'll have to see if, you know, more come out as we go along. Or, you know, I would think some of these guys are going to get looks, be it in the NFL or – you know, in the CFL. I almost said the XFL there. I would play there. No.
You know, you have to imagine part of it too is the fact that the XFL didn't get to complete its season. So, you didn't get the full look at these guys. And then I guess to ask you though, would this be the official end of the XFL if had they continued play? Where does that fall in line?
You know, I don't remember. You know, I thought they were going to go till April. I think the championship was in April. You know, they obviously just kind of did this, you know, to get their play, you know, give their players the opportunity. So,
I mean, you know, and again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how great Vince McMahon is or anything like that, but you know, how could you be any more player friendly for a league that I guess a lot would not want to see exist? So, I don't know. I think that's a really cool idea that their season technically wouldn't even be over, and they were granting the option for players to try to sign with the NFL or even the CFL.
So, yeah, they, you know, they even came out and, you know, kind of said they were originally the players were supposed to be off limits until April 27th. That would be the day after the XFL championship. But, yeah, since the season got suspended and then eventually canceled, you know, they actually did the right thing. And they allowed their players to become free and sign. So, yeah, you've got to think this is going to play real well when it comes to guys – you know, guys looking for jobs if, you know, they don't make that, they're, you know, one of the last cuts in the NFL roster or however it works out. You know, this really looks good for the XFL that they did this. So, but yeah, we'll have to see if, you know, the Bears jump on the train and see if they can find an XFL guy or, you know, where some of these other guys end up, you know, getting looks. I know the one there actually is, I believe, one XFL player who's draft eligible. So he'll probably be drafted. They were saying he was a first round talent, but he had trouble at school, and I think he ended up getting kicked out. So instead of, you know, not doing anything or just training for the draft, he signed with the XFL and played. So I thought that was a pretty smart move.
Very intelligent man.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know if that was him or his agent that came up with that, but, you know, hey. Kind of a plot. Well, you know, I'll have to kind of see who, you know, who signs where and if I can remember it.
Yeah. I don't know. All about, you know, this is the first year where we can officially say for every sport, right? Guess we'll wait until next season.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, right? That seems to be the, you know, the thing. And I mean, out of all this, the NFL seems like, you know, not that there's winners and, you know, this has really kind of worked out for the NFL, I guess you'd say.
Well, Cam Radio, we're back.